Welcome to Onceable, Hypable's Once Upon a Time podcast. My name is Selena, and I am bringing you a very special bonus type of episode. This is an interview with actor Chad Michael Collins, who played the character of Gerhardt, aka Frankenstein's monster, in this week's episode of the show. I hope you enjoy. Did you watch the episode last night?
I did. I watched it as it aired, yes.
Okay, because considering how much CGI work must have gone into the actual filming process, what did you think when you finally saw it?
I thought it was very cool. I thought it was a really neat throwback with the black and white, like the original Frankenstein movies from way back in the day. I thought it turned out great. I actually got to see, we shot everything against a big green screen or a blue screen, and they had built little sets like his lab or the cell where I'm being held at the end, but they kind of had like this wonderful CGI program that let them see what the finished castle was going to look like on the playback monitors, which was really, really, really neat.
Oh, wow.
So it was cool for the actors because it allowed you to get a sense and a feel for what the finished product was going to be, whether it was the Frankenstein mansion or Victor's lab or the cell at the end.
That's interesting. You know, that's actually something that I've wondered about the show, because considering, you know, that almost all of the fairy tale sequences are completely CGI'd, I was thinking it must be so strange to just act against nothing, but I guess that helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really helped to be able to see it on the screen and then go and stand against the blue screen but have an idea of what it was going to look like.
So in terms of filming styles, were there any particular ways in which you and your co-stars for the scenes were trying to get across that more traditional horror movie feel?
I don't think we were going for the horror movie feel. You know, it was kind of a throwback. They left it sort of vague. You know, this took place in fictional Europe and with names like Gerhardt and Alphonse, you know, you could kind of assume that was maybe had something German going on there, but they didn't want us to commit to any real accents or anything. We did through the costumes and just our tone of speaking, tried to give it kind of a more throwback sort of feel to it, you know, something historical. But we didn't. The great thing with the director is that he just wanted it to be natural. He didn't want me lurching around as Frankenstein. Kind of a mindless zombie type of deal. So I thought it played really cool. It was almost modern in the way that he had like the thoughts and the feelings. So I liked the way it all came out. I liked the approach to it.
Now, speaking of your scenes as Frankenstein, what kind of things were you trying to put into the performance? Like to what extent was he conscious of what he was doing?
I think that, you know, in the script, basically, by the time he got shot and my character died to the time where Victor was finally able to resurrect me, something like a year or two had passed. And not very much time had lapsed between the point where I basically get reanimated off the table and then Victor is immediately doing show and tell with Dad at his mansion. So, you know, that was part of the performance where, you know, he's kind of out of his element. You know, he's probably got itchy skin and he's kind of turned off by loud noises and bright lights and all of his senses are kind of firing back up. So there's a little bit of uncoordination, you know, just in the way he's stepping and trying to function and process everything. Obviously not able to speak coherently. And he's kind of, you know, obviously prone to fits of rage just out of fear. But, you know, he still can access his humanity a little bit. You know, he feels guilty when he realizes he killed his father. And it was fun to play that fine line between being out of your element, but also retaining, you know, your humanity, your feelings, your emotions, and understanding the consequences of what I just did.
Right. When you first got the role, what did you think about getting the chance to play such an iconic monster as Frankenstein?
You know, it was funny. Backing up to the audition process, I auditioned for the character of Gerhardt, for the role of Gerhardt, and I had no idea that I'd be playing a monster or that I would be the guy coming off the table with my older brother Victor, bringing me back. So it was all very secretive going in. You can kind of speculate and put two and two together that, you know, the Frankenstein storyline, someone's going to get reanimated. So right. It could be me. But up until that point, I was never kind of told, you know, you're going to be turned into a monster. It wasn't until I had gotten the role and internet rumors started swirling that I started to put two and two together myself. And when I was up in Vancouver, when I flew up the day or two before I started shooting, and then I had to go, and I was basically told then, and I had to go to these wonderful makeup effects people's studio workshop, and they had all the stitches and they had all the everything laid out and planned out for me. So this had been the intention all along, but they just never let the actors know that this is going to be the case, because ABC likes to keep it very hush-hush.
Right, of course, yeah.
So it was a nice surprise.
Oh, that's awesome. One of the questions we got from readers of HiBooble.com was, which of the versions of your character did you enjoy playing the most, Gerhardt or the monster?
Gerhardt he's a goody-two-shoes. You know, I play a lot of these roles, the cops, mm-hmm. the soldiers, the good son. And so this was... Gerhardt, I know how to play Gerhardt in my sleep, you know. So it was more of a challenge as an actor, and probably a lot more fun to play the monster and kind of get back in touch with what it's like to, you know,
be a zombie.
Exit. Yeah, basically lurch around and kind of mumble and moan and get rageful, and because it's all very primal. You know, mm-hmm. he's getting back in touch with these basic emotions, and they're very intense and they're magnified by his strength and. Confusion and his fear. So as an actor, that was really fun. It was really like being in an acting workshop. It was really kind of neat to play that without overdoing it, because the director wanted it very natural, like I said, and he didn't want it to be a caricature or a parody.
Right.
So he wanted it to be very real and relatable and emotional. So that was really fun. And, you know, it's just fun to play dress up and costume. And I had 4.5 hours of makeup every day to kind of create that look. So it was really, really neat to be able to just transform into a monster. So that was a blast. That was probably one of the funnest things I've ever done as an actor.
Right. Well, you know, that was, I think, one of the things about the episode that made it stand out so much was, just as you said, that it wasn't overdone in any way. You know, you have this, it's very easy to take a monster like Frankenstein's monster or Dracula, yeah. or these classic characters and just go way, you know, overboard with them, because they're such classic figures. But I think the story mm-hmm. that you guys presented in this episode was this very real, very almost understated, but in the best possible way.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't over the top. And I think the show in general does such a great job of taking these like wonderful characters, you know, fairy tale characters or Disney characters or what have you. And they put such a great modern spin mm-hmm. on them. Most of these characters are animated, so they're bringing them to life. But, you know, they have to make them as real and human as possible. And I think that, they've got the finger on the pulse. They know exactly what they're doing and how to do it. And I think this storyline completely followed suit as well.
Now, obviously, your character's story was, I think, probably intentionally left open-ended. He's still alive out there somewhere in his own world. And, I mean, I don't know if you're allowed to say one way or the other, but has there been any talk at all of you possibly returning in the future?
You know, there's... All I was left with was that people come back on this show all the time,
yeah.
even when they're dead. So, you know, we could have you back at any point. And so I don't know. I haven't been told. I haven't been guaranteed. I don't know if, you know, David Anders will be, you know, coming back and mm-hmm. doing his stuff as far as the Frankenstein stuff goes. So, but yeah, we're both very alive and well, even though I'm a little disappointed that I'm alive, because I'm realizing what I'm capable of and a bit of a monster. But they told me that, you know, basically keep your cell phone on, because you could get called up to come back up at any minute. People have a way of coming back on the show. So, you know, we'll see. That'd be fun to do it all over again. But as of this point, I don't know if and when this will ever happen again. So I have to kind of just enjoy what I did and hope for the best.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's always a good sign, I guess, to be cast on a
yes.
show like this one. But yeah.
Yes. I've done many shows where I take a bullet and I'm like, well,
Right.
I'm not coming back on that show.
Yeah, this is like a dream sequence. This is kind of, yeah. So did you watch the show at all before you were cast in the role?
I had seen a few episodes. I had seen, I think it was episode 7, which led up to Dr. Whale, or I'm sorry, Victor Frankenstein, in The Hand Comes Alive. I had watched a bit of that episode where there was the Rumple and the Victor Frankenstein interaction a little bit, just to get a feel for the black and white and for some of the backstory. But I have watched the show here and there. There are so many characters and there's so many twists and turns and storybook and the fairy tale elements that it's if you don't watch it every single week, I can imagine that it's very confusing.
Oh yeah, definitely. I had another question from a High People reader, which was, if your character could interact with any other fairy tale character, who would you want it to be and why?
I was thinking, how cool would it be, since you're opening the door on classic horror creatures, a Dracula or a Wolfman,
Oh yeah.
if something had kind of come in, or if we could do something like that. It's established at the end of the episode with a young guy, Henry. He's basically saying Frankenstein's story isn't in this book, so what does this mean? So I think it's kind of brilliant that they've opened the door to other classic characters from any sort of tale or story to kind of come in there, including horror stories. So, if Frankenstein's going to be around, why not throw in the Wolfman, and why not throw in, Dracula or any the Invisible Man? I mean, I think the door is wide open, but that'd be kind of fun to have a little monster squad going
That would be really fun. You could imagine
on.
some kind of like classic monster face-off, like one team
Right.
sends out Dracula and the other team sends out Frankenstein's monster. But it's interesting as well you say about opening the doors for all these different creatures, because there's kind of a trend going on right now in media with taking old stories like these ones and mashing them up and putting twists on them, like Once Upon a Time is doing, Grimm is doing. There's a new show called Penny Dreadful that will be doing the same, but with classic monsters. What do you think about this?
I think it's great because obviously these stories have been around forever. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and everything all the way to Bram Stoker's Dracula. And just for people of our generation or even younger, there's been movie remakes and stuff like that, but there hasn't been a modern spin on these things. There was the De Niro Frankenstein movie and Bram Stoker's Dracula back in the day with Keanu Reeves, but there's a big gap there, I think, between like a legit remake and the younger generation. So I can understand the interest, and every so often, I guess it's expected to have these stories kind of remade and retold and revamped for the modern age. But I just think it's great. They're timeless, and if you could put a modern spin on it, it's all that much more exciting and introduces these kind of classic figures to a new generation and a new audience.
All right, I have just a few more questions for you now, actually. One of the ones that we got from readers as well was, did you get a chance to meet the other cast members, and what was the atmosphere like up on the set?
I did meet a few of the cast members in passing. My shooting schedule was basically working with David Anders and Gregory Itzen, who played our father, just about all the time. But in passing, I did get to meet a few of the other cast members, and Lee Ehrenberg, who plays Leroy Grumpy.
Right.
He was a great guy, and we had actually hung out after shooting a little bit too, and he was a lot of fun. Robert Carlyle, we kind of crossed paths, when he came in as Rumpelstiltskin. A lot of our schedules overlapped for a few scenes with the Frankenstein sets. So he was very courteous, very kind. He's a very sweet man. And but for the most part, it was all of my scenes were with David and Gregory. So I didn't get to interact or meet a lot of the other cast, but it's a very friendly set. It shoots in Vancouver, and Canadians are just a lovely people and very polite and kind, and they have a really nice team going there, and it's all smooth. It's a very well-oiled machine, and everybody likes coming to work. You get that vibe that it's fun. They're making something fun, and they're having fun every single day. So it was really fantastic, and I really hope I do get to go up there again, because Vancouver is a great city, and the cast and crew are wonderful and very talented, and it would be really, really fun to go ahead and spend another week or two up there.
Awesome. Now, I read in your profile that you started your career in journalism. What got you into acting?
Yeah, I went to school for journalism and fell into a doing public relations for entertainment PR out here. And I was about 4 or 5 years in with a little boutique PR firm called JDS. And at about the same time we were doing PR, we had started exploring doing talent management as well. And I just remember one morning we were doing publicity for a client who was on a Showtime series, and her manager had asked me to breakfast, and I thought it was to just basically talk business, talk shop about her client, the client that we were doing PR for, talk strategy a little bit. But instead, she asked me to breakfast and asked if I had any interest in being an actor.
Wow.
So I was kind of flattered, but also, I didn't at that point. I had never acted. I'd never been in a play. I'd never done anything of that nature. So we got to talking a little bit, and she was very sweet and very flattering, like I said. And she said, "I think you've got a good all-American look, and I think that knowing your personality, that you might do well if you're interested in something like this, and I would want to work with you if that's the case." And so I said, "Well, if that's the case, then what would it hurt to take an acting class?" And for years I did. I took some acting classes. It was a lot of fun, and but I approached it as a hobby, and I didn't really get serious about it, even though I started to kind of have a little bit of success here and there. And that's how I got my first start. It was completely by accident. I was well into my career doing freelance writing, I'm happy to share with you, and
Right.
doing public relations and a little bit of talent management on the side. But at this point, I can't imagine doing anything but acting. And I'm very grateful for that breakfast meeting.
I can imagine. Wow. That's awesome. The final question that I had was, the Once Upon a Time fans are obviously very, very passionate and curious about their actors, as I'm sure you've discovered at this point. So,
Yes,
yeah, so
they are.
what other projects can intrigued fans look forward to seeing you in?
I have a film coming out on February 26th. It's a Sony film. It'll be out on DVD, Blu-ray, and on demand. It's called Company of Heroes, and it's a World War II action movie with my co-stars Tom Sizemore and Vinnie Jones and Neil McDonough, and there's a wonderful actor named Jürgen Prochnow, who's a very famous German actor. He's in it as well as my female romantic lead, wonderful actress named Malia Kreiling. And that's coming out, like I said, on February 26th. Really fun. It's based on a video game by THQ called Company of Heroes that they did a lot of these. They had a video game franchise, and I think they're relaunching the video game actually. But it's basically about a bunch of kind of everyday common soldiers at the end of World War II who basically take over this mission that sends them into the heart of Nazi Germany to basically save the planet from a nuclear bomb. And just kind of the story of the underdog and going in and working together and banding together and killing the bad guys and saving the day. But I just saw it, and it's a wonderful little movie and a lot of action. It's got a Saving Private Ryan feel to it. Really, really cool. And who doesn't like watching Nazis get killed? So
Wow.
yeah, so that'll be out at the end of next month, and there's trailers all over the place. Anywhere you can look up movies, you can find it. They have a really nice theatrical trailer out there. But yeah, and I think I have the links on my website to the trailer and everything if people want to check that out. But that'll be my next one. And other than that, I'm going back to do another. I did a film called Sniper Reloaded with Billy Zane for Sony. It came out in 2011. It's Tom Berenger and Billy Zane were in an original movie called Sniper, and then Tom Berenger made Sniper 2 and Sniper 3, and I play Tom Berenger's son and Sniper Reloaded, and we're going to do a sequel to that movie, and we're probably going to do it this spring sometime. Billy Zane's going to be directing this one and starring in it alongside of me, and I think we'll be running around in the rainforests and jungles of South America from what I hear. So that's the other thing that I've got on tap, and I'm very excited to run around and play Kill the Bad Guys with Billy. That was a lot of fun the first time. I'm excited to do it again.
That does sound fun. Wow. Any ideas when that might come out, or have you not even?
Usually it's about a year turnaround, so
Okay.
shoot in March or April, probably about the same time next year it'll have come out. So gotta shoot it first, I suppose.
Well, yeah. It's a good first step. Yeah, no, that sounds awesome. I'll make sure to put in a link to the trailer in the
Cool. I
interview so people
appreciate that.
can check it out.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of fun and I'm excited for people to see it. I think it's I watched it the other night and I was like literally on the edge of my seat and I looked up and like an hour and a half had gone by just like that. Like it's like all good action movies, you know, should move very fast and this one
Yeah.
does. It's a lot of fun. So thank you.
Okay, well, those were all my questions,
Cool.
actually.
Good questions.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, and good luck with all your projects.
Thank you, Selena. Yeah, I look forward to checking the article when it comes out.
Cool. Okay,
Okay.
have a good day.
All right, you too. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you to everybody for listening to this interview with actor Chad Michael Collins. You can also find it in text format if you would like to read it as well, now that you've listened to it, on hypable.com. That is HYPABLE.com. You can follow Chad on Twitter at ccollins32, and be sure to check out his official website as well, which is at chadmichaelcollins.com. Thank you for listening.